Just keep working at it, keep grinding, and eventually it's going to pay off.
Missouri musicians, then and now.
Derek Wayne Brown.
Yes, that is me.
How are you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. I'm doing great.
It's good to see you. I'm glad you
pleasure to be here.
Be here in person, and it's a nice day, finally.
Oh, beautiful.
Last day of January. I'm making mistake number one, dating the podcast already. But, man, it's good to get things rolling. Well, I checked out DerekWayneBrown.com, and I wanted to know a little bit about it because it looked really good. I was impressed. So, like, do you maintain it? Like, how does all that work?
Yeah, that's, like, I use Bandzoogle. Is the service I use for it. But yeah, I did everything, designed everything, like everything on there is me. I,
wow.
Nobody else helping me with it. Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you...
Bandzoogle.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I just Googled, you know, website templates for artists or musicians, and that was one. I think I'd heard about it somewhere else, like probably on TikTok or somewhere.
Okay.
And then I just checked it out, and... I had the domain for years, like DerekWayneBrown.com. You know, I just wanted that so nobody else would have it.
For that?
Yeah, like, yeah. You pay a monthly service, and I have an email through there, too. That's how I have booking at DerekWayneBrown.com. I have a, you know, specialized email through them. So I can't remember. It's like maybe $15 a month or something.
Well, that's
like,
not bad.
No, it's not bad
that's
at
not
all.
Bad. That's a pitcher of beer.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. You know, I like to get that kind of info for any artists that are listening, you know, because they need all the resources that they can get.
It's not as hard as you think, you know, just know how to use your resources and never tell yourself you can't, you know.
Yeah.
Always have that can-do attitude, you know.
Well, like I said, I was impressed. So, list and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They can send you a message,
right.
Kind of. Yeah, so, yeah. Do you ever get people reaching out to you to want a book through the website?
I haven't a lot yet. Mm-hmm. Like, the website's been live for a year or two now. And, you know, everything's still a lot through social media now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like just having that website, I mean... It's sort of the fake it till you make it thing, you know? Yeah. Well, that's really what it is.
There's some truth to that because when I see someone's got that domain, random crap in the domain name, it's just their name or their band name or whatever.
Right.
Immediately, I see it as kind of a sign of legitimacy.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
So it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, we're going to touch a little bit on your background and kind of... how you came into this music thing.
Yeah.
But I want to start with some stuff that's going on right now.
Yes.
And I was really excited to see it because I am friends with Charlie Foxtrot and Will and Bethany.
Yep.
So
amazing people.
Open mic night, Charlie Foxtrot's every Sunday, 7 to 11 p.m.,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. What do you have to say about that? Have you had the first one yet?
So, yes, this last Sunday was our second one.
Okay.
This Sunday will be our third. And, we're wanting it to be open to anything, like a true open mic. Like, we're going to have karaoke going, too, if that's your flavor. But you want to come up and do comedy, do poetry, like just, you know, I don't know, storytelling, improv, whatever. Like, you name it. It's an open mic. You come, do whatever. Bands are welcome. I will say, like, Charlie Foxtrot already does the open jams on Thursday. So if you're a band, you want to play electric, go to Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come on Sunday, do some unplugged stuff, like, absolutely. Like, I am all for that. But let's keep the electric stuff on Thursdays. I don't want to interfere with that. I want Sundays to be a different sort of vibe. But, I mean, it's open to everybody, you know. Just come. Whatever you got.
I love it, man. It's so cool. I need to get in there. I really do.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. And there's tons of venues around Mid-Missouri, but most venues, if you don't have your own PA system, you're not playing there.
Right.
And that is, Charlie Foxtrot's has their own PA, so it's like such a musician-friendly place. Like, we need more places like that, and we need to support the hell out of that place. Because
I agree.
That is the kind of thing that helps a scene thrive and really, you know, get to what it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Was that your idea, or did they approach you about it? How did that
go? So I reached out to them because I was really wanting to do some song swap shows, you know, really mm-hmm. put the focus on original music. We weren't sure as far as a night to do that, and, you know, she wasn't sure about it either at first. But I propose let's just do an open mic, you know, and then from there, like, what I'm wanting to add on with that is we're wanting to do monthly, we're going to do a song swap, songwriter showcase, whatever you want to call it, where we have, you know, specific artists come up and it's all focused on original music. So we want to do at least one Sunday out of the month where we do that. You know, I'd like to jump it up to two if we can, because I really want to push original music with that and really want people to feel like they have a place where they can come and play original music. And not just that, but other musicians show up and we support each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about.
Man, you hit it right on the head. Like, you really got your finger on the pulse of the scene, as they say. Good luck. You have an uphill battle.
Right.
You know, with all due respect to this the scene and all that, original music is hard to get over these days, especially in a cover band-rich area like the Lake.
Right.
So I wish you luck. You're going to need it. But
Thank you.
I'm glad that there's somebody, you know, trying, putting forth the effort to make that a thing.
And I will say, stuff like this podcast, like this helps that too, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think part of the issue that I see is everybody's playing 3-4 hour gigs, so it's harder for musicians to support each other because, well, I've got a gig that night too. I can't come see you because I'm already playing. And I think the solution to that is really getting back to the multiple artists, multiple band, you know, shows. Like, we've done a couple song swaps at 50s Pizza and Pub in California, and it's me, BJ Purnell, and Jason Jordan. We've done two of those now, and, like, it's cool, like, because there's actually, we've had a really good turnout, and people really responded well to it. So I for that, I feel like there's still, you know, we can still do that. Like, there's a place for that.
So when you say a song swap, I picture, this was before my time, but, like, the Metallica garage days when people would swap cassettes and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like that? Like, how does a song
swap
work? So,
no, what we did at 50s is we set up three mics. We all three get up there, and we'll just take turns, you know. Jason plays a song, I'll play a song, BJ, and we just go back and forth.
Oh, wow.
You know, if somebody else wants to come up and play one, you know, they're more than welcome. Like, we try to give it that open mic feel, which really, like, having success with that in California, like, that's what I'm wanting to bring to Charlie Foxtrot. It's kind of that same energy, you know, people coming out to actually see the music, not just, you know, to be at the bar, you know, people actually coming out to see and support the music.
I love it.
Yeah.
How is the scene in California? I used to run over there a little bit in, like, the 08, 07.
Good old Eagles Club.
Yeah.
I was definitely at some of those shows.
Yeah.
We can get into that later.
Yeah.
As far as the scene right now, like, I was just thinking about this, like, watching some of the podcasts last night. And for years, like, I remember all those Eagles Club shows and, like, you know, those were some of the badass, like, fucking shows. Like, and for years, it's like, occasionally you'd have a country band at Eagles Club, or they'd do something at the theater, Fink Theater. But there's really no live music in California, like, and that always kind of bugged me because, you know, here I am, like, a songwriter wanting to play music, and there's nowhere in my hometown where I can play a show if I wanted to. So a couple years ago, 2021, when 50s Pizza and Pub opened up, they had posted looking for entertainment, and, you know, I, of course, jumped on their post, like, hey, you know, you're looking for acoustic guy, I know somebody. And, you know, they got back to me, we set up a show, and it's crazy because I had never really done, like, a 3-4 hour, like, bar type show at that point, so there was still, like, sort of the doubt, like, oh, can I really pull this off, do I have enough songs, like, is my voice gonna, you know. And, you know, naturally I had a freaking cold, like, a week up for it, so, you know, but I mean, it didn't affect me for the show. I ended up recovering in time. Yeah, so I got a show set up there, and I mean, it went pretty good. It never goes as good as you want it to, but
right.
You know, you always, like, have high hopes, and, you know, it's like, sort of shoot for the stars, you might hit the moon, you know, one of those sort of things, something like that. But yeah, did that show there, and it's crazy because since then, like, in February, 50's Pizza has live music every weekend in February. And it's not even just there. Now there's this, the Tipsy Cow. They have live music. I don't know if they have every weekend, but I know like this weekend they're going to have live music too. So from no bars whatsoever to now you have two bars on a night having live music in California. To me, like, that's so awesome. Like,
yeah.
Now, I don't want to take credit for that, but I'd like to think I got the ball rolling a little bit.
Sure. Well, that's awesome that you were able to kind of get the ball rolling, because something we've said on here before is if there's no demand for something, then you can create it.
Right.
And a lot of people, they just like to sit in the corner and complain.
Yeah.
When you can just get off your ass and just make something happen.
Yeah, go do it. Just do it.
Well, let's talk about your musical background, your musical history. So... obviously, you sing and you play acoustic guitar. So, yeah. How did all that come about?
I actually started out on drums. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Yeah. So, I'll go way back. Like when I was a kid, like I always loved singing. Like I had a little CD player and headphones, and I'd be singing along at the top of my lungs. I couldn't hear what I was singing, but I was singing along. You know, I remember when a kid, you know, people told me I was good. You know, they were probably just being nice. You know. But yeah, then from there, I had a music teacher in elementary school, Ginger Moore, who I think she was the first one to really, like, see this love of music for me and, like, start to nurture it. And I remember you couldn't be in choir till fourth or fifth grade. And I was, like, so excited to be in choir because, you know, she was my favorite teacher. Well, the end of my third grade year, she retired.
Oh.
Yeah. So a new teacher came in and... I didn't get along with her as well. Probably, you know, wasn't as open to her, you know, because my favorite teacher just left. And I tried out for choir in fourth grade, didn't make it. And then in fifth grade, so my sister was a senior in high school at the time, and she went to school with Dan Schramm, Brian Kay. And that was when they got their first band going, Tripping Hazard. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Way back.
Yes, that was the first version of Ghost in the Machine, if you will. And I remember that Christmas. First of all, I don't know if it was the first show they played or not, but it was this place in California called Trade Winds at the time. I don't even know if it's still there. It was more like they would have private parties there. And I think they rented it out to have a show there. And I'm like this 10, 11-year-old kid going there with my mom and dad. My sister's there. And I don't remember who my dad was talking to at the door. It might have been Schramm trying to get me in so that I could see the show too. And they're like, well, we got a keg, so we're charging a cover. And he's like, he's not going to drink anything. He just wants, like, and eventually I think my dad talked him into it, and I got to go in and see the show. And I was in fifth grade at the time, but flash forward Christmas that year. And I still, like, talk to my mom about this because for my mom and dad, that was like the hardest Christmas for them, like financially. But they got me a first act guitar, and they went around and got the Tripping Hazard CD, and everybody signed it, everybody in the band.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So me being a, you know, kid, like, you know, I didn't think these are just local musicians that are nobodies. Like, I thought it was the fucking coolest thing ever.
That is.
Yeah. So I got that guitar, and, you know, I start talking to my friends, and, you know, we're talking in school, you know, just fifth, sixth graders, but we're going to start a band. I'm like, well, I got a guitar. I can play guitar. Oh, well, we already got a guitar player. So I'm like, I can play drums. I didn't know how to play drums.
Oh!
I think I played drums at one of my dad's buddy's house once and, like, you know, said, oh, you're pretty good. You know, probably just another adult being nice because I was a kid. But, you know, I took that as, oh, well, I can play drums in your band, sure. And my uncle had this snare drum from when he was in school, a concert snare. So sixth grade, I joined the band in school, started playing drums. Took like two drum lessons from TJ White. He was the original drummer in Ghost in the Machine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my dad gave him like an ounce of weed for like some drum lessons. I think it's okay to say that now, hopefully.
Yeah, that's all good.
But I remember, so at the time, like I was into like Nickelback and Puddle of Mud. And like when I was a kid, like started out on country. Then, you know, I went through boy band phase, like when I was like six or seven. I hate admitting that. But then I got into like Eminem and Nelly and that kind of stuff. And then like when Tripping Hazard, that was when I started getting into the rock stuff. But then I started playing drums, and I had the lessons with TJ. He got me started on Tool and Slipknot.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. Yeah, and I remember because that was right around the time where Tripping Hazard transformed into Ghost in the Machine. Tripping Hazard was nowhere near as heavy as Ghost in the Machine. And my dad absolutely loved Tripping Hazard. And I did too, naturally. Like, I wish I could find that CD because still, I swear, some of those songs were so good. But my dad, like, when he heard Ghost in the Machine, he was like, oh, he hated it because it was too heavy. And at first, I was kind of like, yeah, because I love the Tripping Hazard stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if I like this. And then meeting TJ, and he got me into the Slipknot, Tool, that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I was playing drums and shit, and then I got my first drum set, and I think I was in eighth grade, and I was still, you know, starting to learn drums at this point. Couldn't afford a double pedal, but I wanted one so bad. And then I remember it was Nutrition Center in California. It was like a birthday party or something for Nick Scioli. And the only reason I was there is because I was best friends with his sister. And I knew Ghost in the Machine was going to be there. And I'm like, you got to get us. Like, we got to go. And I remember walking in and seeing Darren Blank's drum set for Senseless Tragedy. And
the big rack.
That was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen. Like, oh my God, this must be like a huge band touring the nation, like to have a drum set like that. And then you see him play and it's just like, you're just fucking mind blown. And I was like, well, okay, well, I guess I'll never be that good. So
yeah, he beat the crap out of those drums.
He did. And then after that, Chris Loeffler, when he took over for Ghost in the Machine, he just another one. Absolutely insane on drums. So those guys, like, as much as I loved them and loved the music, they kind of like made me realize I was never gonna be that like badass of a drummer, which looking back I probably could have been if I really would have tried to, but that was sort of what detoured me from really pursuing drums more. But I started you know, I played in the band at school, and freshman year I started playing at church. Just once a week for 4 years, playing a gig once a week all year. That stage experience alone, like, is like, I'm so glad I got that, because like, you really can't replace that. And just like having those consistent gigs, and like, I was just a high school kid, and you know, yeah, I wasn't out playing with a rock band like I wanted to be, but I was still playing a gig every week, you know.
It's a good way to look at it,
right? Like, and yeah, I didn't realize that at the time, you know, I didn't think about it. But looking back, like, I'm so glad I got that experience, because it helped me so much when I got out to where I was playing with bands and actually was doing that. Because it's like, I didn't have that first initial, like, stage fright, I guess, if you will.
Hey, everybody, it's Jordan. I just wanted to invite you to check us out on Facebook. Like, follow, drop me a message. I just want to hear from you, so let's talk. I hope to talk to you soon. It's really cool that your parents nurtured that love of music and encouraged that. As a parent myself, I need to kind of keep an eye on stuff like that, you know, and kind of just push these things forward and not be the one that's like, oh, you can't do that, or you'll never do that. And it's really neat that the California music scene was such an influence to you.
Absolutely.
Even though you felt like you couldn't be as good of a drummer as some of these people around you, it still influenced you in a positive way, and it wasn't the end of your music journey. You know?
No, and to me, it was always like, here's these guys from where I'm from. If they're doing this, like, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it made me feel like it was possible. I never told myself, you can't pursue a career in music, you can't play music, like, you know, because these guys are doing it. You know, there's no reason I can't do it too.
And it's inspirational, those guys in particular, because they reached some pretty good heights, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, throw Shaman's Harvest in there too.
If somebody asked me, like, I was only really into things for a small short sample period, but if somebody asked me who, like, the most successful local Missouri bands ever were, I would probably say, like, Shaman's Harvest, Tech Nine, and it goes to the machine, or they'd probably be like definitely in my top five.
Yeah.
I can't think of the other two right now, but maybe I'll post that another day. But
there's probably some other country people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that ain't my expertise.
That's all good.
What better group of people could you be influenced by than the Ghost in the Machine clan and everybody in that circle there? Now, here you are.
Right.
You also just recently joined I-70 Overdrive, right?
Yes.
So tell me about I-70 Overdrive.
So, yeah, we're a cover band. We play country, rock. We honestly do a little bit of everything. Like, we do some Green Day, like... We're learning an L King song.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's I've only been playing with them for about 6 months now, but so before that I was playing with Yeah Bowie. I played with them at the lake all summer last year. And in that band I was the only guitar player. Which I always joke, I'm just a drummer who taught myself how to play guitar. So like that was sort of a huge challenge for me, and now switching to I-70 Overdrive where I can just play acoustic and I don't even have to play all the time. I can just focus on vocals. Like, granted, I still like play guitar as much as I can because I still love playing guitar, but like that is such a like it's just so much less stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be the only guitarist in the band. You know, you don't have to worry about solos, any stuff like that. You know.
Well, I had heard of I-70 Overdrive. Playing in Lynn, Jeff City, Sunrise Beach, Camdenton, Herman, all over Missouri.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, you take all of that along with your what you're doing solo in California and other places. You pretty well got Missouri covered, man.
yeah, trying to.
You're killing it.
Getting out there.
And then with this stuff going on, the open mic at Charlie's, how do you have time for all this stuff?
I definitely don't. No, what it really helps my job. I only work Sunday through Tuesday and every other Wednesday, so I always have the weekends pretty much open for whatever, and that's a major help for the music. Yeah, if it wasn't for that, it'd be a lot harder to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I just love doing it. You just gotta love doing it. You know, there's been nights where I get home from a gig at 12:30 or 1. And I got to be back at work at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't miss that.
It's what you got to do if you want to do it, you know?
That's cool, though, that you have a work schedule that allows you to do that. I can remember the days when I'd have to sulk into the manager's office. Hey, you know, can I have next Saturday off? I got a gig. Or I got a gig Friday night. Can I have Saturday off?
And right.
Just, like, nervously, like, please, can I? And, oh, man, that's cool that you got the weekends open because that's just the prime time to play, you know.
And they usually work with me pretty well, like, because I'll have some weekday gigs, like, too. And as long as they got, you know, good amount of staff, then I can usually, like, head out early if I need to. They're pretty good about working with me for that.
I want to hear about your songwriting process because you play a lot of originals, right?
I try to, yeah, when I can.
So how do you write?
You start with having something to say. If you don't have something to say, then, like, you're already up creek without a paddle. Like, I'd say that's the first thing, and just being honest with yourself and making music that you like. I try not to write thinking, oh, somebody, they're going to like this, or these people are going to like. I try to write stuff that I like, stuff that appeals to me. Stuff that I would want to listen to. And that's sort of my approach.
How has that worked for you? Because a lot of people would disagree and say, you know, you should write to cater to your audience, whoever that may be.
That just sounds miserable, though.
Yeah, I know, right? You know? I agree.
If you're doing it for other people, then, like, that's where it's a business and it's not art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want it to be art, it needs to be an expression of yourself, expression of who you are. That's my approach to it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, hell yeah.
For real, yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So do you just have an idea in your head and then you go start strumming around, or how does it go from there?
It depends, you know. Every song is a little different. Sometimes I'll have a cool chord progression, I'll start playing, and then words will start coming out. Sometimes I'll have a melody that I think of, and I'll put chords to it. Sometimes it starts out as just lyrics. That's a little more rare. Usually it'll start out just jamming around on the guitar, and then, you know, something pops into your head.
So you don't have just a strict formula that...
Oh, no.
That's cool.
I don't like taking that approach to it because it's too, I don't know, mechanical. I don't know. Like, it feels forced in a way. Like, you know, if you're doing all this stuff to write a song, like, yeah, you may write a great song, but it's like, I don't know. And it's good to have processes like that, but I just feel like it's more natural.
Yeah.
You know, more in the moment, if you will.
It's kind of unique to each person, really, because I've heard stories of people in a band setting, they just throw a phone down on the ground and record. Yeah. Otherwise, you come in with a vocal idea or a musical idea and put it together that way. But, you know, I'm glad that works for you, that you just kind of just go with whenever you're inspired and it just comes out how it comes out.
Well, and I would say to everyone else, don't do what I do. Do what works for you. Find out what works for you. If that doesn't work for you, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, find something else. Like, I'm all about, like, trying out, like, these songwriting exercises and different stuff to help you, like, you know, write, like, word generators and shit. Like, whatever tool you need to help you do it, by all means, do that. But at the end of the day, it should be natural. It should be in the moment. And it should be an expression of who you are and what you want to say.
Well said.
Thank you.
You said songwriting generator. It made me think of Dakota Livingston and the Angry Suitcase. And he said that they came up with the name by putting it in a band name generator.
Well, that's how Post Malone got his name.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Uh-huh. Ray was a rap name generator or something, I think. Yeah. whatever works, you know.
Wow. Well, I'm sure it was free, so that's all right. Yeah. Well, you got your solo stuff going on and I-70 Overdrive. So what do you like the best? Do you like solo gigs that you kind of like you've been doing for most of your life, or do you like a full band setting?
I definitely think I prefer the full band setting. It's pretty close, though. Like, yeah. I still love playing solo, but definitely when you got – I mean, like, I'm a drummer. So when you got drums and guitar and distortion behind you, and, like, I'm a metalhead at heart – Let's get that straight. So, like, yeah, I'm all about the full band setting. I love playing acoustic, but when you got a full band behind you, it hits different.
I did acoustic for like 10 years, and at some point I'm just like, I need to step on a distortion pedal, like, badly, desperately.
Right.
I have this in me and I need to get it out. And I sold my amp and everything, so like when I was done. So it just kind of built in me, like, oh, I need that distortion, you know?
Well, that's like when I played in my first country band back in when I was like 20, Brush Creek Outlaws was that band. We were a cover band. We did do originals too, though. We put out a 5 or 6 song EP on iTunes. But I would mix in like double kick stuff on country songs. like I even did it at church too. Like,
yeah.
If there was anywhere I could fit it in, I would. Just like you with the distortion pedal, pretty much. Like,
I gotta get this out.
And like I said, I can never afford a double kick, so I got. I don't know if you know what heel toe is. You can basically manipulate a single pedal into sounding like a double. I have small feet, which was really helpful for that, and I got really good at it. So I would throw that in. Like, I remember. I think I was playing Freebird at this gig in Owensville. The girl I went to high school with, Andrea Knipp, she was going to school in Nashville at the time. And she brought these two guys up from Nashville, a bass player and a guitar player. And she's like, hey, you want to come play drums with us? So literally met these guys 5 minutes before the show. We played for 4 hours.
Wow.
I think we made like $800 that night as a band, which was fucking great to me.
Yeah, but it's good money.
We ended up playing Freebird just because, like, you know, we were like, fuck it, let's just try it. And I remember I did this fill where, like, I would alternate the floor tom and my heel toe, and it was like, and I remember when I discovered that, I was like, that's so fucking cool. And from that point on, like, anytime I could fit that in the song, I was like, so yeah, there's definitely always that, even playing country.
Just a random, spontaneous educational moment, I guess.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
You just meet these people and you end up playing Freebird. Man, that's a tall task.
And that was one of the funnest gigs I've ever played. And I still talk to her. Like, I played a gig with her not too long ago, but the other two guys, I don't even know their names. Wow. Like, never seen them or talked to them again. Like, yeah.
Hey, but, what do you guys want to play? Let's do some Stairway to Heaven. That's like, what?
we were throwing everything out that night. But I mean, the crowd, we had a great crowd. They were into it and yeah. They loved every second of it. So, you know,
that'll definitely boost your confidence.
Oh, for sure.
Did somebody request Freebird or did you guys just?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember because we didn't.
That was a stupid question.
I should say,
Freebird!
Yeah. We didn't actually play the whole song. I think we just played the solo.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, I think Andrea took a break or something where we just started jamming on that and we played like the whole fucking solo. Like, it was great.
I remember one time we had a hot crowd like that too, and somebody wanted to hear old time rock and roll.
Yeah.
And we didn't really know it. Like, we didn't practice it together and stuff. But when you're playing acoustic, you can kind of get the gist of it. And Rob Wilson got it rolling, and then I joined in, and we just like repeated the same section over and over again, and then they tipped us like 20 or 40 bucks or like that, and then they left. It's like, oh, cool. That's that easy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Some days you can't get anything in the tip jar, and then other days
You know, it's always great when you have that one guy who just throws in a $100 bill. Wow. Like, that's just makes your night.
We need more of that.
I'm saying, feel free to throw as many in my tip jar as you want.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, like when I play acoustic, I don't even go in with a set list or anything. Like, you know,
really?
I'll have like, you know, certain songs that I play, whatever songs I'm feeling at the moment. You know, if I'm learning a new song for I-70 or something, I'll probably throw that in. But I'll just, like, take requests, you know. And if nobody's requesting anything, I'm fine. I'll just play what I want. It's crazy because most of the time I'll, you know, be asking, anybody got any requests? And they'll be like, no, just keep doing what you're doing. We like what you're doing. Like, yeah. So that's always kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll take requests all night if you give them to me. I mean, if I know it, I'll play it. If I've heard it, I'll try to play it. You know, I don't get too crazy, though.
I really like the vibe-oriented way you go about things with all this. You know, you don't put a whole lot of thought into it, and you don't stress about it. You just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
That's kind of what music is all about.
That's what it should be.
That's good that people aren't requesting, like, a completely different genre than what you're playing, because that's kind of like a red flag right there.
Well, I play, like, everything anyway, so like, you know, I think there's one, like, somebody jokingly will request Metallica or something, mm-hmm. or like Ozzy, and I'll play Mama I'm Coming Home.
There you go.
Yeah, so like I'll usually like try and find an audible, even if I know they're just trying to mess with me. I'll be like, all right, I'll show you, like, you know.
Yeah, this is kind of random. Have you seen the guy on Facebook who he's acoustic and he plays rock songs and he sings them in the Cartman voice from South Park. Yeah.
Yes.
That guy's awesome, isn't he?
Yes, he is so awesome. And I kind of hate it because I had an idea to do that.
Really?
Before I ever saw him.
Oh.
And like when I saw him, I was kind of mad, like, damn it, I should have done that. But then I'm like, but I couldn't have done it as good as him. Like, he is so good at it. But
you said Mama I'm Coming Home. It made me think of that. I watched that the other day. I watched the whole thing.
I remember finding him on TikTok and like, yeah, because I would do it at work, like joking with the kids, like sing songs in like a Cartman voice. Like there was one I did Hurt by Johnny Cash in like an Obama voice. Which my Obama voice isn't that good, but the kids got a kick out of it, so.
Wow.
Yeah. They've always said, you should post that on TikTok. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to.
You know, they say that you need to be doing stuff like that to help you stand out from other people. And I mean, I kind of cringe at the thought of all that, but there's like, so many people doing music and stuff. It's hard to stand out.
It is. And, you know, it's hard, you know, you should probably do some stuff like that or, you know, like not that necessarily, but, you know, stuff to make you stick out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you just, if for me, that's sort of like selling your soul in a way.
For real.
Like, you know, you got to find the happy medium, find the balance there.
Absolutely.
But don't detour from who you are. Stay true to who you are.
I think there's a lot of pull on people that are creative or that are musicians and stuff, because nowadays it's just like, I have to be on Twitter, I have to be on Instagram, I have to be on TikTok.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, I talked to the Etched in Embers guys a while back, and I mean, they're learning how to do lights, they're doing computer stuff, they're making flyers, and it's just like, it's just a lot, you know?
Yeah, and you kind of have to do that stuff nowadays. Like, you don't really have a choice.
It's like me, I don't want to have to learn or remember like 5 different social media passwords. Come on, man. That's too much for me.
Try to find one you can use for all of them.
Yeah, password is the password.
Yeah, I hope not.
It's just like you spread yourself too thin, you know? I would rather be above average at a couple things than average at many things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a better way to put that.
I'm sure, but I know what you're trying to say.
Hey, guys, check out our cool merch at www.momusicianspodcast.myspreadshop.com, where you can get shirts, hats, coffee mugs, stickers, hoodies, and much more. Now back to the conversation.
So talk to me about how you book, because you're very busy. So are you to the point where people approach you, or do you have to reach out and book your own stuff now?
Well, that's sort of what I love about I-70 Overdrive so far is they do a lot of the booking, the other guys, and they're to the point where, you know, places reach out to them, so they don't got to do a lot of work. Me, for my solo stuff, there's a few places that reach out to me. I feel like I'm still kind of getting my feet wet as far as a lot of the venues when it comes to my solo stuff, because I really just started gigging again in 2021, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people that have been at it a lot longer than me who already have their foot in the door at all the places. So, you know, it's a process, but it's going all right, you know. You got to be in it for the slow build, because if it happens overnight, it's probably going to end overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is it? But I'm trying to remember who said it, but the longer it builds, the longer it lasts. And I try to take that approach. So, you know, if you're not getting what you want right now, you're not playing the venues, you don't want to, don't stop. Like, don't let that keep you from doing what you want to do. Just keep working at it, keep grinding, and eventually it's going to pay off. Because like I always say, you never get worse by playing. Every time you play, every time you practice, every time you go out, even every time you post something on social media, you're always getting better. You know, you don't get worse by doing it. So you just got to have that mindset and keep working at it, in my opinion.
What's your opinion on reaching out to venues? Do you have something you bring to the table? Do you say, hey, check out my YouTube? Do you have a business card? Do you just hound them? How is your approach with that?
I try not to hound places too much. I should probably do a little more than that, because I think it there is a certain aspect of you have to kind of be annoying. Mm-hmm. In a way, you kind of have to bug the hell out of them if you really want it. But I try not to do that too much, because, you know, I don't know, I just don't like being like super annoying, like, even though it's probably not even annoying to them, because there's people that are way more annoying. I'll just reach out, hey, my name is Derek Wayne Brown, California, Missouri, I play such and such, and then tag my website, you know, I'll list bands I played in. You don't approach every venue the same way either. At least I don't. Maybe I should. You know, because there's smaller town venues. Sometimes you go to book a venue and you find out the person booking it you went to high school with.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like you were trying to reach out to the venue and you could have just got a hold of this person, and, you know. But you don't know that until you get to doing it and you start to know the people who do the booking. And, you know, there's a lot of venues that, you know, you'll never hear back from. You know, you'll send a lot of stuff out and a lot of people won't get back to you. Sometimes you'll think this bar didn't get your message, and then 6 months to a year later, you'll get an email or hear from them like, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody this date. You know, are you available? You just can never get down on yourself, you know.
I'm talking with Derek Wayne Brown, and I want to know what your goals are with music. Why are you doing this?
Well, because I love it, first and foremost. I feel like music is the easiest and most efficient way for me to express myself, I guess. Maybe not so much anymore. Like, you know, I'm a lot more emotionally intelligent and more emotionally aware than I used to be. But still, music is my favorite outlet. I'd say ultimately the goal is to be able to support myself off music, be able to make a comfortable living, you know. I don't care about being a huge star playing stadiums. That'd be freaking awesome. But if I could just pay my bills for music alone and have extra spending cash too, you know, I'd like to, you know, tour around the country a little bit, you know, play little bars. But I mean, that's really like my only goal, really, like just keep making music, be able to do this as long as I possibly can.
Music is a gift, that just the ability to play it and sing it, especially because I feel like it's something that will never leave you.
No, definitely not.
Like, there's some people I've talked to that they're learning how to play the guitar, and then every now and then they'll say, well, it's been a while, I haven't really played. And I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. It's there when you need it. It's there when you're ready. And you just start doing it again, and it's like riding a bike, you know? So just the ability to do it, and especially to make money off of it, it's a wonderful thing, man.
Yes, that definitely helps.
So you've played a lot of gigs. What is your favorite place to play, and what's your favorite song to play?
My favorite place to play is anywhere that'll have me. That's a simple answer. I don't know, though. Like, there's so many fun places at the lake. Like, obviously, playing your hometown is always fun. Like, those song swap shows have been some of the more fun shows I've done lately. There's obviously some fun ones in Columbia. Played at Rose a couple times. Had the pleasure to play at the Blue Note a couple times. Honestly, though, it finally came to me. See, I knew if I rambled long enough, it would come to me. But honestly, probably my favorite place I played at several times in 2021 is Big Bear River Resort down in Lebanon. It's right off the river. Like, everybody goes floating all day. And I just had some of the best times playing music out there, which I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a weird answer. Like,
not at all.
I don't know, because it's just like the vibe. Like, you know, everybody floats on the river all day. Everybody's having a good time, and like you could have like 10 people standing there listening to you. But if every person is engaged and fully, you know, paying attention to what you're doing, like, you know, that
they just float and get hammered all day, and then they come back and then they listen to music.
Yes, this last one, I was only able to play there once this last summer because I was super busy, and the flooding and stuff, their stage had got messed up, and they didn't really do live music last summer, but I played one show down there, and we floated during the day, and definitely partied a little harder than I should have floating. So, like, I was feeling pretty good, and my voice was, like, almost shot by the time I started playing. And my iPad wasn't working, so, like, I couldn't do as many songs as I usually would because I don't have every song memorized. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I take so many requests and stuff, like, and I want to be able to keep doing that. So that's why I don't stick with the set list, essentially. But anyway, I started playing some originals, and the response I got, like, from the people there, you know, and it may have just been because they were drinking all day, but it's just, like, that kind of feedback. And, like, when somebody hears your original song and, like, it makes them feel something, or, you know, it, you know, makes their day better, just they can relate to it. Like, that's what it's all about for me. Like, that, those are the coolest moments. And yeah, I love playing down there. It's like, but I love playing everywhere. That's why it's so hard to pick a favorite,
right?
But I definitely had some of the best memories down there. And they gave me a chance when I was like first starting out and hadn't really been gigging. And I think that first summer I played down there like 4 or 5 times, and every
Dang.
Time it was a blast. And
I think acoustic music, I mean, obviously it goes really well in a camp setting,
for
a resort
sure.
setting.
For sure.
So it's definitely a good acoustic vibe. I think if they would have brought in, a metal band or something, I don't think people would want to listen to that after, getting sunburned and
definitely
drunk
not as much.
All day long. Like, I'd want to go, you know, kind of wind down a little bit after all that. That's me, but that's cool. What about your... What about your favorite song to play?
Oh, yeah, I forgot you asked that, too.
You play a lot of songs, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's another one. It's so hard to pick a favorite, like, because one of my favorite songs to play is one that I almost never play at gigs, and that would be Redemption Song by Bob Marley.
Okay.
Because I am a massive Bob Marley fan. Like, he was a huge influence on me, still is, and, that's just one of my favorite songs. So as far as covers, that one, I don't know, a lot of my favorites are songs I don't get to play that often.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. There's a Mac Miller song that I like playing called Surf. As far as originals, There's one called Getting High that I really like. It's a fun one to play. Bombs seems to be always go over well. Like, even at the bar gigs when you're playing covers, like, I'll pull that one out, and people always love it. So that's probably one of my favorites of the originals.
I discovered this already, but for those that don't know, BOMBS is an acronym, am
yes.
I right?
Yes, it is.
What does that mean?
Back on my bullshit.
Is there a background story to that?
Kinda. I was working with this guy who, he does rap music and stuff. His name's Tevin. He lives at the lake, if anybody knows him. I don't remember what his rap name is. Oh, wait. He went by Champ Soldier at one point. But we worked together, and, you know, we just got along really well. Both made music, obviously different kinds of music. But we were talking one day how he this is sort of like a sidebar from the story, but he was saying how he used to have long hair, and I couldn't believe it. And he showed me a picture. And then from that moment on, we both agreed that we were going to grow our hair out. And still going. His is still going, too. I haven't seen him or talked to him in probably like 2 or 3 years. But while he was working there, he went through a divorce, and his Instagram bio was back on my bullshit. And that sort of, like, just, I was like, BOMBS, back on my bullshit. Somebody should write a song. And it sort of started out as a joke, honestly, like, the song. Like, I wasn't, like, trying to write a serious song, or, like, it was kind of just a joke that I wrote for myself and then posted on TikTok and then started playing it at shows, and now it's, like, one of everybody's favorite songs. Like, so it's cool how that worked out.
Sometimes, you know, people just don't need to be so serious about everything.
For sure, for sure. That's what it's all about.
Musical mishaps.
Yes.
Do you have any musical mishaps?
I certainly have a few. I puked on my guitar once on stage. That's one. Yeah. Well, you know, when people are handing you moonshine and left-handed cigarettes on stage, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was a great time. So that's one, but I have a better one.
All right. Set the scene for me here.
Okay. So I'm going to, like, really set the scene.
All right.
My country band, Brush Creek Outlaws, I get an email from Pat Kay. Asking if we want to play this show at the Blue Note. I'm like, guys, it's the Blue Note.
Yeah.
We're playing this, right? So we hadn't played in probably like a year. And we got together, threw this together in a week. I was on drums and singing. And my brother-in-law played bass for us. So we, like, scramble for like a week and a half to get everything ready for this show. And we get there. We're playing the show. And first of all, no one was there. It's all good. It is what it is. I think this next part, I'd like to think, is part of the reason why no one was there. So we start our first song. I'm up front because we had the drummer from the other band play drums for the first song so that I could go up front and sing it. And I'm in the middle of singing. And I guess while we're playing, there's this huge thunderstorm coming through. And the wind, I guess the Blue Note has roof flaps above the stage. I didn't know this. We didn't know this at the time, but the wind blew the roof flaps open and it started hailing on the stage.
No way.
Yes. While I'm up front singing, I have no idea this is happening behind me. Like, there's literally hail coming in through the roof onto the stage. I didn't even find out about this until after, like, we had got done playing. They're like, yeah, like, I guess it blew the roof flaps open, like, because they were so confused, like, where is this coming from, like... But, yeah.
You guys blew the roof off of the place, man.
Something like that. I wish there would have been some people there to see it, but we did. Dude. I think we had like 15, 20 people maybe, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, when I said musical mishaps and you said the Blue Note, I'm like, oh, no, don't have things go wrong at a Blue Note show. You don't get much bigger than that, man.
It was all good. I didn't know it, so it didn't affect me playing or singing or anything. I kept on, like, and luckily the band behind, like, my band just kept going too, you know, so.
That's quite something.
Yeah, it's like I still almost don't believe it happened to this day. Like, just one of those things, like, crazy.
Charlie Foxtrot's open mic night. Osage Beach, every Sunday, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., hosted by Mr. Derek Wayne Brown.
Yes.
Everybody go check that out. Open to all acts, including comedy, poetry, spoken word, and acoustic. And it's a really great thing for the music scene, for the local area. And we just need to support it, like you said earlier. And everybody Absolutely. Check out DerekWayneBrown.com and check out an I-70 Overdrive show Absolutely. Playing all over Missouri. And Derek, I appreciate your time, yes, man. It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Absolutely.
We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Take care.